What's up, beautiful people? Welcome back to the Thrive After Sports podcast. I wanted to share with you one of our weekly meetups. This was our second meetup. So I had to share this because I thought this was a great, microcosm of what these meetups will eventually look like. I think we had 6 or 7 people on the call. The group is still continuing to grow. So eventually these calls will have hundreds of people on them. But I want to have it structured the same way where people are connecting with one another, business deals are being formed, introductions are being made. You'll hear me say at the beginning of this recording that we're not here to just, shoot the shit and just chop it up and hang out. Like, we're here to actually form businesses, connect with one another, and support one another. And as more current athletes and student athletes join the group, then those of us who have already made it through to the other side of the transition will be able to support those athletes coming up behind us. So enjoy the recording. There's some great people who showed up, and hopefully we'll see you at the next meetup. If you want to join, the link below to join the community is right there, probably one of the top links, or you can just go to tajdeshaun.com, which is the hub for everything on my social media platforms, and just click join the free community from the menu bar. And then just fill out some quick info and then you'll be invited to join. If you're a current athlete, there's a lot of great people for you to connect with and learn from and get guidance and mentorship about life after sports. And if you're already in that next chapter of your life and you're thriving in life after sports, and there's a lot of other great people for you to connect with in the group as well. So I'll leave it at that. See you inside the community, and I'll see you in the very next episode. Peace. So, by the way, don't feel like I blocked off an hour, but don't feel like you have to stay here for the full hour. Some more people might come in. Anytime we have these meetings, you can just jump in, ask a question and just share what you want to share and jump off if you need to. A couple of housekeeping things I want to share, not just with you guys here, but you guys who are watching the recording. Really quickly, let me share my screen too. I want to encourage you guys to download the app because, let me see. And then before I show you the app, when it comes to the members, if you want to invite new people, all you have to do is go to the member section, click invite, and then you'll get a customized link, right? And then you just copy this link and you can send it to people. And when you send it, it'll say your name. It'll say, Abiola is inviting you to join the group. The reason you want to do that is because eventually I'm trying to keep this free for everyone who's joined so far, and I will continue to do that. But obviously, it costs money to host this thing. So eventually I'm going to start charging new members. Like the first 200 or so, I think we're at like 160 right now. So the first 200 or so will always be free because you guys are my founding members and you guys got in early. But if you have people that that should be in here, definitely invite them before we start, before I make this a subscription for future members. Also, I made a post somewhere. You should be able to search. Let me just post search app and see what comes up. Cool. Yeah, you can download the app in the iOS store, and also it's on Android too. The reason I'm saying that is because, let me stop sharing. I made a lot of introductions to people, but sometimes people don't see it. Because if you're just jumping on here, every once in a blue moon from your browser, I might have introduced you to somebody who could be a great partnership. Or especially for those of you guys who are current athletes or athletes in transition, I might have introduced you to somebody who could help you get to the next level. And you might not have even seen it because you haven't checked. So you're leaving money and opportunity on the table just by not having the app. And I'm also not saying just to have the app, just to have it and have a bunch of alerts go off. Like, I have it on my phone and I just, I get the alerts, not when they pop up, but I just scroll past it every now and then and be like, okay, there's a few alerts that popped up. Let me go in there and see what's going on. So anyway, enough about that. I'm going to pass it around the room. What I'm going to ask you to do is just tell people who you are. Remember, like, everyone in the group is going to be seeing this too. So whoever you're looking to meet, what you do, what you're all about, and then we'll circle back around. Or even if you want to say it while you're introducing yourself, just kind of say what you need help with and who you're looking to connect with. Abby, I'm going to pass it to you. Ladies first. Go ahead and kick us off.
Sure. Thank you. Hi, everyone. My name is Abiola Wabara. I go by Abby. Retired basketball player, played at Baylor, national champion, and then played professionally for 10 years after that all over Europe. And I'm Italian by birth and nationality. So I played for the Italian national team as well, Eurocup and things like that. Once I retired, I started working for a consulting firm called Accenture. So I've been there since 2017, so going on 6 years. I'm a manager there. Love what I do, but we all know why we're here, right? A transition from being an athlete to not being an athlete anymore was tough. So I actually connected Taj, as far as what I'm doing on my end of things, which is Global Life, is a consulting firm to help athletes transition from their, you know, sports career to not. And so I'm building that community, and, you know, being here is a way for me to share what I'm doing, see if there's anything that I could learn from what you're doing, and definitely finding ways to collaborate. So that's me.
Cool. Thank you, Abby. And last question, I just want to add this on because I know you and I talked about this the other day when we first met. If I'm in this group and I'm like, what should I reach out to Abby for? Like, what do I need to touch base with Abby? What type of person am I if I'm like, I need to reach out or I need to connect with Abby? And this helps me keep it in mind too, by the way.
Yeah, definitely. So in my mind, it's someone that is brainstorming as far as, okay, now that I'm either done playing or about to be done playing, what do I do next? How do I even figure out what I want to do next? I like to use experience-based advice. So I don't call myself a coach by any stretch of the imagination, but I've helped some friends go through interviews, mock interviews, so kind of like put them through what I went through when I was interviewing to work for Accenture, reviewing the resumes and figuring out how to align what you do from a sports perspective to what it looks like in the corporate world, right? Because that's where I'm at now. So yeah, to me, it would be someone to, if you want to brainstorm, bounce ideas with someone that's been there, done that. And, you know, it took a while, but I can say I've transitioned pretty successfully over the course of time. I think I would be that person to just give that initial advice and seeing how I can help further.
Awesome. Thank you for that. So for those of you guys listening, I think about this group, like if something like this existed when I was coming out of college and I was lost and I have access to all these athletes who have made it through to the other side and now they're doing amazing things and each of them specialize in different things. Like, I mean, that's a game changer. So also one of the things you and I discussed the other day, Abby, is programming. You do programming for universities. So anyone in here who is, you know, part of an athletic department, Abby's a great person to get in contact with. She has some fantastic programming that she can come in and do. Aswan, I'm gonna go to you next, my man. Feel free to introduce yourself and tell everybody what you got going on. My man Aswan just finished the workout. Like, oh, there you go. I was gonna say.
No, I'm here. Hold up. Yeah, I'm just driving right now. That's why I'm making sure. Hold up. All right.
Yeah, be safe in those streets, man. We can go
can
to
you Chris. Guys hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah, go to Chris, because I want to make sure I don't crash and shit. Go ahead. Yeah, go to Chris.
All right, go ahead, Chris. Tell everybody what you got going on. I know you wear many hats.
All right. Yeah, I'll take it over. And sorry I had my video on. It was glitching when I first got on the call. So for everyone that's watching. But yeah, my name is Christopher Ray Coleman. I'm a keynote speaker, author and peak performance coach. I just published a book called Trigger to Triumph. It's a student's athlete's playbook to winning before, during, and after the game. So as a peak performance coach, I help student athletes transition from playing the infinite game of their specific sport to playing the finite game of their specific sport to the infinite game of life. And it's really the book I needed 14 years ago in my life that the sports transition started. And I had one hell of a transition. But I always say, I instead of transitioning from being a student athlete, I'm still a student athlete. Like even today, you know, I still write books. I study peak performance and neuroscience. I'm a competitive athlete, you know, as a power lifter. So I'm still a student athlete. But what the transition I had was I transitioned from playing the finite game to playing the infinite game. And I think it's some power in us. I mean, to me, it's illogical to be a student athlete for 2 decades until your 20s. And then after you graduate, now you have to find a new identity. You know, I think we should remain student athletes and simply just transition and transfer all of those skills and that mindset into other things that we do. So that's what I do right now, mainly keynote speaking. For over a decade, I was in corporate. I was a district manager. I ran a sales organization. I had a couple of startups in my 20s. I'm 32, so ran a couple of businesses and started a couple of businesses as an entrepreneur. But now I'm diving deep into the student athlete development space and doing keynote speaking for athletic departments. Going to do some consulting and of course some coaching. But a part of this group, anyone, of course, if you at an athletic department, you know, you're doing some programming, need a keynote speaker. If you, of course, a student athlete, and really, if you want to stay in the sports industry, I think, man, if I was coming out of high school and knew I could make a living and still be in the sports industry, you know, from a business standpoint, then like that would have been a dream of mine, you know. And we see today how the sports industry is growing. Like, you know, seems like every NFL stadium is being upgraded. Seems like, you know, every you know, top male athlete is investing in women's sports. So, like, it's crazy nowadays. But, you know, when I was coming out of high school, you know, in 2009, it was just like, you was an entrepreneur, that means you was a loser. That means you couldn't get a job, you know. So and today we got entrepreneurship programs and departments in colleges. You know, someone wants to reach out to me, see how they can still stay in sports, you know, still be a part of a team, but from a sales standpoint, from an executive standpoint, or run a business or a brand that can serve the sports industry or student athlete development industry, then you can get in touch with me.
Thank you for sharing that, Chris. Man, I love your line about going from the finite game to the infinite game. I saw that when you posted about your newsletter the other day. I think that's dope. And you mentioned your new book. How many books do you have total now?
Well, I'm glad you asked, because you bought my last book. So right. the book I have now is basically a rebrand of that book.
Okay.
So and I've been meaning to send you a copy of it since you supported the first book. So I wrote a book when I was 25, I think 26. I was turning 26. It was called The 180 Effect. And it basically talked about how I went from homeless to business owner, which was a part of my student athlete, my life after sports transition, and how I started my first business when I was 22 and built a sales team and sales organization. But that book, although it meant well, it did well, you say you got some value from it, I wasn't in the right space of healing from my transition to write it and actually talk about it in my new book, why I rebranded it. So I went from the 180 effect, and I just rebranded it, republished it, and it was more so catering to like sales professionals and entrepreneurs and people that want to get up into the startup ecosystem and world. And I basically rebranded it to, like I said, cater to student athlete development. So I just, you know, republished it, rebranded it. Now I have Trigger to Triumph, the book I have now. So, and I keep my same storyline, a lot of the stories and whatnot. But over the last couple of years, I've been studying, of course, neuroscience and peak performance and things of that nature. So I have a lot of those like studies and research and like a entry level to all of those things, like flow triggers, you know, how we can, you know, perform our best and feel our best, you know, and that's all peak performance is getting our biology to work for us rather than against us. And it's an entire, you know, field of study. So I implement a lot of that into the new book as well. So, but I do have another book coming out later this year. Trigger to Triumph is for student athletes. And I have a book coming out called Equate, how to connect to a modern day student athlete. So that's more for like coaches, students, basically anyone that plays an important role in a student athlete's life and ecosystem. That book is for them, so they can connect better with student athletes. And like Trigger to Triumph is, in all actuality, it's the book I needed when I was 18 and, you know, transitioning or going through my transition.
Well, yeah, man, I really enjoyed the first book and looking forward to checking out the revised edition. I always support the homies, but I am not too proud to accept a free copy. So I will be on the lookout for that as well. Thanks for being here, Chris.
I got you, man. Yeah.
Aswan, you good, man? Are you safe on the road? Okay, there we go.
I'm safe on the road. My bad about that. Okay,
all good, man.
So, yeah. As one Crookshank, I'm a four-time published author, and I've built up a whole framework, a whole mindset, a whole philosophy that really brings the idea of innovative teamwork and sports marketing into one world. So the first book I put out there is called Swiftly, Your Guide to Innovative Teamwork. And I put a podcast out simultaneously with that book. And the podcast now is the number one show on innovative teamwork. And ever since then, I've had this vision, this whole philosophy about how we can take what we've learned on the football field as a former football player in terms of teamwork, and how we can apply it to businesses and make it so businesses run more efficiently. And I've just been kind of going with that concept ever since. So,
no, and never mind. I'm gonna come back to something. I'm gonna ask you something later. I want to give Jaren a chance to introduce himself. What's up, Jaren?
Yeah, go ahead.
Jeremy, hey man, I forgot to tell you. I know you just popped in. First of all, thank you for being here. How's the baby doing, man?
He's good, man. He's good. He's with the wife right now.
Okay, great to see you. Yeah, I think it's the first time I actually ever seen you. We've done a lot of phone calls over the years.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if we've ever like been on like a Zoom together. So.
This is it. what we're doing right now, I'm just passing it around to everybody to introduce themselves and just tell not just the people here on this call, but like everybody in the group, tell people what you're about and who you're looking to connect with.
Yeah, for sure. So Jaren Stewart, I'm former athlete, ran track, University of Maryland, studied Kines, went on, got a master's in exercise phys, kept running track in grad school. Started my career as like a personal trainer, started my own company called Took Me Performance, where we helped train athletes that wanted to go to the next level. So high school or college, ended up selling that business in 2016-ish, stayed on to continue building a brand, and then went back to school again and got my MBA from UCLA. Have since pivoted into more of a marketing role. So now I'm a senior product manager at Procter & Gamble. And my passion project right now is called the Blacktop Game. So we are essentially think of it almost as like field day, but specifically for former athletes. So like battling it out, kickball, dodgeball, flag football, playing a bunch of sports with former athletes. We have everything from athletic trainers on site if you need to get stretched out in between matches. We have like a recovery center with like Therabody boots and everything like that. So that's what I'm currently working on. Honestly, just want to connect with any and everybody in the space. And happy to be here.
And when are the Blacktop Games kicking off? I think you said next year sometime, right?
Yeah, so we're targeting next year. We're actually shooting our promo reel next weekend out in West Covina, out here in Los Angeles. But kicking off, first of all, either like late this year or like early next year. So looking forward to it.
I'm definitely coming back home to LA to be a part of the first ones, man.
Pull up.
Chris is funny. Chris said, that's dope. Nobody want to see me on the track. With the Blacktop Games. That's funny.
Exactly.
Cool. All right. So what I want to do now is pass it around the room, and you can just jump in like whenever you want, and just tell everybody. Remember, I'm saying this to remind myself too, not just everybody who's here on this call, but everybody in the group who may watch the recording. What do you need help with at this time? Like in your business? I mean, it could be in your personal life. You don't have to share all your business, but what do you feel like you need the most help with? And how can us on this call and then the people who are watching the recording reach out to you to like support if they have any insight on that thing? And I could kick it off. I'll kick it off. Matter of fact, I need help with ideas and trying to find ways to A, grow this community, but have the community be more engaged. Because I think the idea of communities as it stands right now, most people think a community is just another place where you as a content creator go to have people follow your brand. And that's not what I'm trying to do here at all. I'm trying to bring, I've met so many great people since I started doing this, helping athletes in, 2018. I have 5 years worth of like relationships with people like yourself that I really, and new relationships like Abby, who I just met 2 days ago, constantly meeting great people, And I'm trying to bring everyone together because I feel like this space of supporting athletes is so isolated. You know, there's a lot of cliques and certain people only rock with each other, or certain people are just lone wolves. And I was a lone wolf for a long time. So by bringing us together, we empower each other's businesses and bring more support to each other's businesses. And also we create this network to where the athletes coming up behind us can have a soft landing because they can tap into people like us. So if you guys have any ideas about how to get people more engaged or how to convey that message so people understand that, hey, this is for you, not just a place to like support what Taj is doing. And then also how to get more people. I know this is only the second one we've ever had, but how to get more people onto the meetups, because, and I'll share this and then I'll shut up because I want to hear what you guys have to say. But what I've been thinking about doing, instead of having just people come together, having like a business spotlight or someone coming on, like Abby could come on and talk about a certain topic, and that'll be like a mini workshop. And then we'll get into more of like the networking, connecting type support. That way it's an event, but also a meetup type thing. So you guys have any thoughts on my little TED talk that I just gave?
I mean, one thing that I've realized too, because I have kind of similar challenges, but one of the things I'm attempting to do is make sure I run a successful event in which people show up offline, because my business, and I think most people are kind of over it when it comes to Zoom and virtual this and, you know, meeting on via social media. A lot of people have just kind of gotten over it. And it's a whole different situation when you can meet people face to face, look folks in the eyes, shake hands, and really getting a feel of if this thing is going to last, is this relationship going to last? Or if it's someone you don't want anything to do with, you can get all that through a face-to-face conversation. So one of the things possibly we can collaborate on this, Taj, is I'm doing an NIL info session seasonally. The first one, and the plan is to have the first one in October and then do one in the winter, do one in the spring, and do one in the summer. And the summer, attach it to like a football camp. So I like I shared in the community, I connected with this company named Proactive Athletes, and I have a meeting with them on Monday. They actually know Alex, I think it's Alex Molden or something like that. But one of the things I'm going to tell them is to say, hey, why don't we take, I think I actually should have it right here. We take a book like this and just attach it, say, the six-figure athlete football camp. Run it in the summer. We got a whole 12 months to promote a camp where people are showing up. We get hundreds of people showing up for a camp where it's dialogue face-to-face as opposed to trying to get people on something virtual, when everyone's kind of appetite after COVID for virtual shit is kind of, they're over it. And a lot of people are over it, especially after, you know, everything we lived through. Nobody wants to see you on virtually no more. We want to be dialogue face-to-face so we can chop it up.
Right. I think a part of that, so first of all, let me just talk about what you said about people not wanting to be on Zoom. I'm in agreement with you. I'm on Zoom meetings throughout the week. I know everybody is too. And so for me to like, for all of us to be here on a Saturday on Zoom again, I'm like, yeah, that's not exactly appealing for most people, but that's why I'm trying to really hone in the message of, we're not here just to shoot the shit and just to hang out. We're here to actually make some stuff happen. Like what you just said about in-person, now you got my gears turning. Like, and I'm not attached to being like, oh, you know, let's have like Thrive After Sports events. How can we come together to support one another's events, right? Making sure everybody gets taken care of, but also making sure that we're giving everyone an opportunity to meet up in person, just like what Jaren is doing with the Blacktop Games. Like, that's dope. Like, I'm excited to be able to come out. And so,
but that's the thing. It doesn't have to be a Thrive After Sports event. You have such a strong network of people. Let's say I was to put on a camp named the Six-Figure Athlete. Let's say it works out with this guy, the Six-Figure Athlete Football Camp. He's going to ask me, okay, who came up with the book? Who put you on with the book? How did you even get involved? And obviously your company is the one that I say first. You know all these people, they come to the camp, we start telling people, yo, we got Jaren that might be there. Obviously it's got a whole year, we got to plan it out. We got Chris might be there. We got all the people that he connects with on a daily basis could be at the camp. If I'm a player, if I'm a parent, I say, fuck yeah, I'm signing up to that shit. Because it's like I'm learning more about, instead of me just going to a camp for one college and might or might not get an offer, which I know more possibly I won't get an offer, I'm going to go to a camp that's going to make it so if I don't get that offer, at least I got that foundation. At least I got something out of the money I spent on a camp, as opposed to going, you go to Chuck Priory, it's like, okay, what the fuck did I learn went to Long Island, New York, as opposed to going to a camp where, I mean, he can see the film. If he wants me, he wants me. If he doesn't, he doesn't. But if I'm gonna go to a camp, I'll pay money to go to a camp. I'm gonna go where my son is, you know, gonna get some actual game, some value if he don't make it. So that's really where I'm kind of thinking in terms of getting people to show up regularly.
Got you. Okay. Anybody else want to jump in on that topic?
Yeah, and Chris, we gotta connect, bro. When you were talking, I was driving. But when you were talking, man, we gotta collaborate for real.
Oh yeah, man, I'm down. That's we can connect after we get off of this call. So, but yeah, Taj, when you were saying to get more attendance for this call, you know, I was a part of David. I don't know if you guys know David Shands. He entrepreneur. He got the morning meetup. So he do a call like this, but it's every, and he more so do it for him, for like accountability. So he does it every single day, morning, Monday through Friday, every single morning. And he has like over 100 people in it, you know, like, and some big time people like, you know, Keon Davis, who has like the smoothie brand and has worked with like Tyler Perry. He got some big people on the call. And a part of that was, like you say, he have like one person doing basically like a masterclass. So it's like a workshop, you know, so people are leaving with actual value and actual like takeaways, you know, sales. Like these are some sales tips you can do like today and, you know, increase your business. These are some branding, some marketing, some video content, et cetera, that you can implement immediately after you get off of this call. So, of course, people are showing up for that, you know, because that's some actual tangible value that they can get, but also for the community. You know, it's a, you know, great community. You know, they chop it up in the beginning. You know, sometimes people stay over, so they just, you know, talk and catch up and whatnot. So you have that aspect of it too, but there's a focal point. Like you said, it's an actual event. And also it's sometimes people that have their own communities. Like, so instead of paying for my community over here, you know, they're coming into that community, you know, and giving away. And also these some people that have courses and do keynotes and whatnot, but because they're part of this group, they have access to this person, you know. So in all actuality, that's the big kind of USP, the sales proposition of these communities, is access. You know, it's access to people that you wouldn't necessarily get in another way, or you have to pay a shit ton of money to be a part of their group or their community. But because you're here, I'm gonna bring this person in and you get to talk to them here. So that may be a great way to increase the attendance.
Okay. Yeah, thank you for that, because that really just drives the point home that David Chance is doing it. And obviously David Chance has a huge following, which helps with the attendance. But the main thing I took away from what you said is about having it be a combination of a masterclass and a meetup and a networking call. And anyone on this call could easily lead a workshop. So it's like, I think that's what I'll do. I'll start just taking a poll or just getting a feel. And you guys feel free to be the first ones to do that. Like, hey, I want to teach a workshop on this. And then I could schedule it out to where it'll be like, all right, this week, so-and-so is going to teach a workshop for the first 15, 20 minutes, however, and then we'll spend the last, you know, 30 minutes or 45 minutes of the call or more just doing networking and connecting like we're doing now. So that's good. Jaren, were you about to say something? You look like you're deep in thought.
Yeah. No, I love the idea of a masterclass. I'd say really, really feel everybody when they were mentioning like virtual being hard now. The other idea, if it's not like masterclass, so I'll preface this by saying like, I like the masterclass idea more, but another opportunity would be, even if it's not someone like teaching a class, if you put a poll in a group or whatever, and it was more so like the different, like, what topic are we like discussing today? So then people can sort of like prioritize, like, oh, like, I really want to be there for that conversation on XYZ topic. So they'll start like putting that in their like calendars to like save the dates. But like, I like the masterclass idea more.
So
that just made me think of something else. Oh, go ahead, Tosh.
No, go ahead, please.
All right. So, I mean, it also, when you're inviting people to the group, that could be the way you invite them. Hey, do you want to teach a master class? Come teach it. So like the people that I just did an interview with, they're doing this huge conference in Baltimore. So I reach out to them and say, hey, there's a community of people. Do you want to come and just speak during a meetup? And then that'll be a way of them not only coming in the community from an invite standpoint, but you've also given them value because you've basically done their job. You've already created the network of people that are willing to listen. And then they come and teach a masterclass. And now it's like, okay, now you bring in people. And then you could really start charging because the people that will be coming in, the folks that you gave that platform to, like, let's say you gave me the platform to give a workshop and say, now, you know, you can come in the community and it's $20 a head or whatever. The person that you just gave the platform to is going to push the sale for you. So then that's just like passive income coming in for you because you just gave this person an opportunity. Y'all split the fees or whatever, however you want to do it. And it's like, hey, you got a little TJ on the way, so you got to make sure it's feasible. You got to make sure it's feasible at this point. You can't be doing too much free shit for too long.
Right.
I'm around kids all day, so I know how it goes.
You scared me, man. You scared me. That's funny. No, that was great.
Yeah, you got to get the dough up.
I don't want to. So first of all, thank you guys for everything you said. I got a page full of notes and I'm definitely going to go back and listen to the recording, but I don't want to be monopolizing this call with what I need help with. Does anybody else want to throw something out there that they want to get feedback on?
I mean, has anyone done anything like any NIL stuff? I'm like new in this NIL business. Has anyone have any thoughts in regards to how the whole NIL business is working? Because there's so many, especially since football season getting ready to start, and there's going to be a lot of opportunities, especially being a former football player myself. Has anyone have any thoughts in regards to name, image, and likeness?
This probably isn't helpful, but I just want to say what you're doing is dope, because I think a lot of people are trying to, there's a lot of people that I see. And by the way, I stay in my lane. NIL is not my lane. So I haven't even dipped my toe into that. And I don't plan to. But what I see you doing is you're just being proactive about it, because most people are like, oh, I'm going to form this NIL company. Whereas you're just making connections and leveraging products and services that you already have to be able to find athletes to sponsor, you know, to create NIL partnerships with. And you talked about that in our last meetup. Right. I think that's dope. So.
But I'll tell you the challenge. The challenge is getting people to actually do what they said they were going to do. So I have had so many conversations with the quote unquote experts in the NIL business, or the managers, the ones that are supposedly looking out for the athlete, but I'm not getting enough, in my opinion, a lot like you, I'm not getting enough feedback or engagement from them to keep things going. So I'm just wondering if, because it's such a new space and you're kind of free to do your own thing. I was just curious if anyone in here has any interest or has any thoughts on how the whole thing is working. So.
Yeah, from my view, it's a shit show right now. So. Like, it's no universal, like, you know, standard or regulation around it. You know, even with league, you have like the SEC, but it's so many states in the SEC. So, and every state does, you know, has their own thing. And then a lot of times when the states do regulate something, it's hard to enforce it, you know, because like you said, sometimes it's contracts with like third parties where it's outside of the college, you know, and the player. So I just think it's a wild, wild west, kind of like when back in, you know, 2009, when social media kind of quote unquote first started, and things were just all over the place and whatnot. You know, it's the wild, wild west. So, but I'm kind of like Taj, like I'm outside of it. You know, it's not my lane, but I do my best to stay educated on it and just connect with. So I'm glad you're going into it, so I can like stay close with you. I know I'm real close with Jim Caval, that has the influencer brand. You know, I'm here in Alabama.
He's oh, yeah, yeah. I think I did. I reached out to him, I think.
Yeah, so I'll do my best to connect you two. He's, he was just at SEC Media Day talking about NIL. Yeah. You know, so I can connect you two. But yeah, I just think you're doing the best thing you can do now with being immersed in it, because it's a wild, wild west. So a lot of things that's going to be you know, become standard and regulators based on, you know, things you'll be doing, you know, and kind of become familiar with. But yeah, that's like I said, that's the best I can do. Just stay close to people like you and then connect. And then from a business and kind of entrepreneurship wise, kind of be like a marketplace for the kind of like Taj. He has this network of student athletes, and now he can kind of act as a marketplace for like vetted NIL like deals or managers or agents or etc.
Right.
Like I think that's gonna be the next stage where we're gonna have like a clear process of this is vetted NIL. Like it's gonna become like a tier system. Like it's gonna be more recognizable of what's vetted and what's a good NIL deal and what's something you should stay away from. I think that's gonna be the next step.
Got it. Yes. Thank you. Appreciate the intro on that one, because I did reach out to that brand too.
Aswan, do you think that having some sort of community like this, back to the in-person events and like the I forget what you called your NIL evaluation, like not the camps, but you get what I'm trying to say. If you were to have some sort of community where you could educate folks, or it's the type of thing where you have all the people that are potential, that you could potentially create NIL partnerships with, and you say, all right, I'm gonna do a pop-up in Orlando or something, who's in Orlando, and everybody can kind of pitch in, and then you can have the event links and all that type of stuff. I feel like you having some sort of community around it off of social media, you could just house everybody in one place, might be good to kind of get more attendance to your camps and just find more people to create partnerships with too, more athletes.
Yes, that is the goal. That's the reason I made it a seasonal thing. Now, where I'm currently located in West Palm Beach, it's kind of the perfect location because there's so many athletes and so many sports out here in West Palm Beach. But eventually, it'd be nice to say, okay, I'm going to do it, announce it a year in advance. I'm going to do it in Miami in the winter. And then I'm going to come out to LA and do it in the spring. And then in the summer, I'm going to go do it in DC. And then coming back, and every year we know season league gives everyone a bunch of time to be able to attend it. And that, you know, that's kind of the bigger vision of what I'm seeing.
By the way, I think everybody should have their own. I really like this platform. Like, Chris, I know you use a different platform. I forget the name of it. You told me you use something else for your community, but.
Yeah, Circle.
Circle. You feel like you like Circle more than school overall?
I haven't launched it yet. I've just only been a member in Circle for another community. But I mean, to be honest, they're both easy navigation. You know, it's I think with Circle it kind of becomes more advanced. Like, of course, you pay, kind of pay to play. You know, it's like kind of more features, and I think you can like integrate it more into like your brand or website. So it's like, it's just better integration. And this seems like it's an app where people have to become kind of more, they have to kind of change their behavior and start coming to this app a little bit more. And I think with Circle, you can like just integrate it. So you can bring that to where like a website or whatever. But nah, this is cool. It's like I said, it's even easy navigation, easy to use. So yeah, I definitely like it. I want I don't know if Abby was gonna say something, but I was actually gonna ask Abby about like the program you do. Like, so do you consult athletic departments with what you do?
Actually, I was gonna ask a question too. So good timing. Okay. So no, I don't consult. I do that as my job, like, you know, my 9 to 5, I'm a consultant there, I'm a manager. But as far as what I'm trying to do for teams is I want to do workshops with athletic departments in college, and pretty much trying to get athletes to start brainstorming what their future will look like with and without sport, because I feel like what the gap is by the time we are almost retired or retired, real life, quote unquote, real life hits us like wall. There was no in between forethought on what you want to do next, what you could potentially be interested in, where your talents might be, etc. So I'm trying to catch athletes at the stage where, you know, your books are still fresh in your mind, you have a major, like, did you pick it because it was easy or because you actually want to do something with that once you're done? So I've been talking to schools and different ADs as far as they're interested in having these workshops at their schools. Right now, the one school that seems interested, I'm waiting to hear back, is Rice University. I'm based in Houston. Rice University was really interested in the program, so I'm hoping to hear back from them soon. But the conversation that I had was really good. So that is the extent. And then I've done one-on-one coaching with a couple of, I would say, my friends, just to kind of like get global out there and really understanding how things are done. So for one thing that I did, for example, for one of my friends, where I organized an interview with her, an imagine director at my company, just because I wanted her to know what the baseline was. Because sometimes we have an idea of what we potentially do once we retired, but once reality hit us hard in the face, and you're like, oh, wait, that is not my lane. And I knew the interview was not going to go well. But that was something that she needed to see for herself before you would, you know, before you go to a real interview and then look bad and then you actually feel bad. But that helped her figure out that, okay, I cannot go to corporate. That's not my lane, but what else I can do? So things like that is what I've done so far. But the thing I was going to ask was, as far as the help that I was hoping to get, maybe some advice here is anyone that's tried to reach out to corporations? Because the other big piece of what I'm trying to do, or what I'm doing with Global Life, is I want to create an apprenticeship program catered specifically to athletes. So I'm connected with different companies. I had a really good talk with Adidas last year, but it kind of dropped because the main person that was interested ended up leaving. So I'm trying to see if the new company she's at might be interested. But apprenticeship programs with programming specifically for, you know, someone that's never been in a corporate world, they need a little bit more of handholding for the first year. And then it's a paid apprenticeship, so it's not like you're working for free. And then at the end of it, you might end up with a job if, you know, you're a good fit. If not, you at least have something else on your resume that is not just basketball or football, whatever your sport was.
Abby,
what would be your?
Go ahead, Aswan. Go ahead.
But what would be your like vision for what an athlete would go through ideally if there's an apprenticeship program?
So it would depend, obviously, on what the company needs, right? So if I use Adidas as an example, in my pitch, I had picked 4 or 5 career paths just based on what they offered. So it was sports marketing. Obviously, my initial group was basketball because that's where the majority of my network is. So I was focusing on basketball. It was like basketball marketing, basketball apparel, so things that I know they might have like a direct interest to. And there will have to be the comp. So basically the way I was going to pitch it was as a product, as a service. So I was going to create a curriculum for them, sell it to them based on their individual needs.
Sell it to the corporate, to Adidas.
Yeah.
Okay.
So based to the needs, right? But they will have to be committed to have at least one mentor per lane. So if it's sports marketing, who's going to be in charge of this sports marketing? And they're going to be the mentor of the athlete. And let's say, I don't know, for example, I'm a product manager, right? So I had to learn how to develop what Agile is, what, you know, Waterfall is, even though I hope no one uses that. But there are different things that you need to know that if you didn't go to school for, you will never use. So in this case, you'll be able to have this mini training sessions where you learn the basics of these things that will build up to what your role would be in the end, instead of being thrown in the middle of the ocean and hope you can swim, right? That's the route that I went. Just kind of like, good luck. And I mean, it turns out, you know, it was cool. I did it, but I feel like there's better ways for people to figure out what they might be passionate about, what it could be good at, if there's a little bit more of hand-holding in the process.
And Adidas never went for it? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, the person that was most interested ended up moving to Under Armour. So I was going to wait and reach back out and see that, hey, since Adidas didn't pick it up. And the reason why I went to Adidas is because Nike has a program called WIN program, Women in Nike, but it's specifically for WNBA players. So I was trying to use that as a, hey, your competitor is doing it on a smaller scale.
Right.
You could do it at a bigger scale. But
and Baylor is Adidas, correct?
It's Nike.
Nike, right? So that's how you acted, okay. That's kind of a similar vision. I've reached out to corporations as well, but I never thought of creating an apprenticeship program and pitching them on that. I was pitching them on me just giving workshops. So there's a lot of synergy there.
Yeah, I mean, the workshops, I think, at a corporation level, for what I'm trying to do, I didn't see the value, right? Because I do a workshop right now for my clients, but that's more so what they need from their products or whatnot, right? Like trying to figure out, oh, yeah, I want this product, but I don't know how to work it. But to tie it in from an athlete perspective, other than me being an ex-athlete and having transitioned, I couldn't find the linkage. Like, to me, the workshop is at the college level, and from the corporate level is just like they have programs for veterans, right? Mm-hmm. Athletes are not that far as life experience. So how can we create a lane that's specifically for athletes in the corporate world?
Got it. I was just trying to get clear on what you're asking for. I might have to
be. Yeah. Cool. I was just going to ask, how do you reach out to corporations? So yeah, awesome.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's part of what got me in the NIL space as it is, because mm-hmm. a lot of corporations throwing big money in it. And it's like, if I go to them and say, look, I'm an NIL brand myself. Now you could talk to them as an equal, like it as an exec, to say, you ain't the only one. I'm not paying. I'm not buying Bentleys for the kids, but I'm at least paying something. I'm at least putting some of my money down. So now it's like, look, if I give them a book, you guys can give them a whole product to use the book to sell it with. So this right here is kind of like that tie between
the corporate,
the athlete, and the deal.
Yeah.
So the more you're like that, there can be an apprenticeship program.
Yeah.
But like Chris was saying, it's the wild, wild west. And it has to, you just got to nail down a specific thing, because they're not putting so much money into it unless it's like a surefire win. Right. They can't be this kind of shit.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And I mean, I definitely would have never thought of the NIL, because I'm like, with everyone else, the only thing I know about NIL is like, I wish it was there when I was playing. But that's as far as I know. So,
right. Well, you were at Baylor, man. I was at a smaller school, so I knew I wasn't about to get no. I wasn't about to get no real deal.
Yeah, Abby, I was. I was gonna say that your idea sounds great. I think the positioning can probably shift to you helping a corporation with recruiting, because that's. In a lot of ways, they either have budgets set up because they either want to increase revenue, increase recruiting, or increase retention. So, of course, you, in its essence, what you're doing is an apprenticeship, and it can stay that. Like, that's what you want to do. That's what you want to provide. But I guess the way you market it or position it when you approach the corporation is, hey, I'm helping you recruit. Cause that's one of the main things in all actuality, that's the only thing they really care about. If they either care about one of those three pillars, like mm-hmm. they either really care about retention, really care about revenue, or really care about recruiting. So kind of like, I mean, that's in all actuality, this will essentially become just a great recruiting hub. Like even with what this is right now with what Taj has, like in a year or so, he's going to have over 500 student athletes a part of this. Like a corporation going to look at that and say, oh man, they get weekly, you know, master classes. They have a great community. Like that needs to be the place I recruit all of my future and employees from. So I think if you approach, And of course, somebody may know this, that like department head, they may know this better, but just from my experience, and also with some speakers I know, that only deal with corporate, like they know, like in the discovery call, like, okay, well, tell me, are you trying to increase the recruiting, increase the revenue, or increase the retention? So if you can approach a corporation like, hey, I'm gonna help you recruit more people. And they're going to be prepared to perform and execute, because I've held their hand for a year. So on day one, when they start in your workplace, they're going to be ready to perform and execute. Like they'll pay you, like they'll throw the goose at you. You know, if you can help them, because I read this study a long time ago, even with Zappos, like Zappos would spend a year retraining students that entered their workplace, because yep. Because essentially what they learned in school hindered them in the workplace. So they actually had departments and budgets set up to retrain graduated students that entered. So if you can come and just eliminate that and kind of save them all that money and labor and you know, that heartache. And like, look, the people that's going through my apprenticeship, they're going to be ready to perform on day one. Then, like, I'm sure they have budgets and whatnot set up. So I'm sorry to be long-winded, but I think I just, from what you were saying, I was like, this sounds great, but from an employer standpoint, if you position it like, I'm just going to help you recruit. I mean, yeah. we know in sports, like that's, at mm-hmm. the end of the day, whoever recruits the best going to have the best, you know, team. Yeah. So
no, you're absolutely right. I guess like I didn't use those words, but the way when I pitched it to Adidas, pretty much I pulled up the stats, right? How many companies like to hire athletes? How does that help you with your inclusion and diversity goals, right? So recruiting the right folks, because I mean, majority of athletes are going to be probably like people of colors or minority, right? And in my space, I was specifically looking at women at the time, more so just because that's where my network is. So to your point, yes, the recruiting is an important keyword to use when trying to appeal to these corporations. Because at the end of the day, like you said, right, that was making an example that Rise, like a lot of people from Accenture go to Rise Business. But what if now you actually have a tent outside of the athletic locations, right? Not just in the business school, but now you're going to the athletic side of the campus. So that's kind of like what I was thinking. But I like the way you framed it, because that's kind of like gives it a better picture of what I was trying to say.
Abby, you've already created, or you've already been doing some sort of apprenticeship program with Accenture, right?
No. So Accenture has an apprenticeship program for folks that are not college graduates. So when I pitched Global, it didn't work because all athletes went to college, and there's so much, at least 90% of them graduated. So that program didn't necessarily match, but it did tell me to come back like a year later to see if their apprenticeship program worked, to see if there were other spaces. So I was actually waiting to go back with Global Life and be like, okay, hey, the apprenticeship program worked because there were a bunch of folks with a high school diploma that now work in corporate. Mm-hmm. How can we reframe this and make it the same thing for athletes that have 10 years of non-working experience? So pretty much the same level of experience that a high school diploma might have, but they have life experience and they have a lot of skills that can be transferable.
That's crazy. They're tripping for not, I mean, I know you're going to keep pushing, but they're tripping for not just being like, yeah, right away, we should do something with athletes. But do you know Classy James? I'm sure you know Classy. From Shakeout. Oh, okay. Here's a connection that needs to be made. Cool. So Classy works at, she had a Shakeout conference last year in Atlanta. Her brand basically helps athletes transition, just like most of us. But what she did was she had a conference last year, last July, and Classy also works at Cisco. So she created like this apprenticeship program through Cisco where she got like X amount of athletes internships, and then like, they had the opportunity to get jobs at the end of it. But she had a conference where there was basically a bunch of brands, Cisco. I think Accenture was actually there too. And it was the type of thing where there was people like us there speaking at the conference. And then there were current athletes that universities sent out to attend where they could get like mm-hmm. interviews and opportunities and stuff on the spot. So, because I'd be curious who her contact is at Accenture. Like
right.
You might even okay. Anyway, I'll make a note to make that connection. I think Classy's
yeah, no, definitely happy to come an idea.
Let me see if Classy's in the group. All right. Anyway, we got like 5 minutes.
Connection.
Guys, we got like 5 minutes left. I want to respect everyone's time. Does anyone want to share anything or ask any other questions or anything before we hop off? Is Classy in here? By the way, yeah, Classy is in here. My bad. What'd you say?
No, I was saying I'm good. I didn't have any more questions. So
okay. So first of all, thank you guys for jumping on. I want to encourage you guys to connect with each other. Probably the easiest way to do that is I believe most of you have your social media handles and stuff on the, that way it just makes it easy. Like you can just go into the group. I could type in Aswan and go on the profile, and like all Aswan's social media handles are right here at the bottom. So that's a great way to keep in touch with everybody. One last question, and then I promise we'll jump off. But does anyone, can you guys throw some topics out there? I just want to write these down real quick. Like, what topics would you guys want to teach on? Because I really like that masterclass idea and giving people an opportunity to share. Because then I could share that content with you guys too. Like, you come on here, do a masterclass. The people who make it live, they make it. But then also the recording is shared in the group, and I'll share the recording with you. I'll probably even put the recording of your masterclass and the whole event on my podcast. So it's going out through multiple channels. But what would you guys want to teach on? Just give me some topics real quick. Or what topics you'd want to see. That's another thing. Either one.
Yeah, I could teach like peak performance, identity, you know, anything on identity, anything dealing with risk or entrepreneurship, sales. I think that's, of course, branding, personal branding. I think that's important. I'm getting all kind of topics. I don't want to step on anybody else.
Chris, what do you mean by risk? What kind of risk?
Like high consequences. So it's actually a flow trigger. So anytime we do something risky or that's high consequence, we pay attention to it and focus. I mean, that's the name of the game and what we do. And that triggers flow. When, of course, flow is it helps us perform our best and feel our best. And that's all being in the zone is. Flow is a technical term and a neuroscience term for being in the zone. So when we take risks, when we embrace risks, and we do anything that has high consequence or high stakes, it peaks our performance and it helps us perform in our optimal state. So, but of course, there's some risks, of course, we shouldn't take, and there's some risks we shouldn't. There's social risks, there's physical risks, emotional risks, mental. It's all certain aspects. So kind of teaching and training on that, how to take if anything, not, I don't want to say safe risk. That's for lack of better terms, but risk that doesn't, and another flow trigger is called challenge skill ratio, where what a challenge slightly exceeds our skill set. So that makes us pay attention more and peak our performance. But you want to make sure that it stretches us and it doesn't snap us. So introducing risk into it where, yeah, it's risky, but it doesn't take us too outside our skill set, and it's such a challenge where it snaps us. On another term, it bends us, but it doesn't break us. So embracing risk to the point where, you know, it increases our performance and helps us perform in an optimal state.
Okay. Wait, Abby put something in there. Okay, cool. I know we're at time. Feel free to jump. Let me copy this before. If you guys want to let me know right now, anything else that comes to mind, or just hit me up, reach out to me. And I think what I'll do is I'll put a poll out based on what you guys are saying that you want to teach. And we'll see how people gravitate to it. And then we'll just kind of I'll reach out to you, see when's a good time for you guys to teach. Abby said failing forward. Okay.
Yeah, I love failing forward. I like that, Abby.
What else are you going to have? Failing forward.
I'm TBD. I'm TBD on this. Uh-huh. I don't know if I can get enough content, but something along the lines of like whether or not the NBA is like the route for you, or like if you're interested in like pursuing an MBA, like what that could look like. So yeah, but I'll put some more thinking to it.
No, I like, that's a good one. I wrote that one down because some people, as I'm sure you guys see, they'll be like, I'm gonna go get my MBA, but they're just doing it because they don't know what else to do. And I think it just adds another notch to the, which is true, but like, I like that idea. What's the intention behind your MBA? So that's good. Okay, cool. All right. But thank you guys. I hope to see you on more of these, especially as the group continues to grow. If any of you guys were all dropping gems, so if any of you guys want like a copy of the recording or something, just hit me up and I'll get it to you. But aside from that, great to see you. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday, and I'll see y'all sooner rather than later. Peace.
Later, y'all.